On today's episode of the Deep Post Podcast, I go through my first mock draft of the year. Let's get into it. Oh boy, first mock draft of the year. I'm excited, y'all. I love doing mock drafts. The draft is probably one of my favorite parts of the entire NFL season. And I don't know, I just love it. I love the aspect of team building. Just the fun things that come about from that. And it's my second podcast. I'm excited about that. If you guys haven't listened to the first one, listen to it. I think it came out pretty well. Hopefully this one will too. And if you guys could, if you want to leave a rating, preferably a good one, but honestly, I'm not picky at this point, so surprise me maybe. In a good way. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. And enough with that. Let's get into the actual draft. For draft order, I'm using thedraftnetwork.com. Their draft order as of January 12th. So don't get on me like, oh, why are the Chiefs picking 32nd? That's just the draft order I'm going to use. I'm going to use theirs pretty much until we get a finalized one. And also in this draft, I'm not doing any trades. So there are some spots where I could see trades happening, like the Jets at 2, and we'll talk about them later. But in this one, I'm just going straight through. We'll get into some of the crazy trading scenarios closer to the draft. So let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know there's a lot of suspense here. There's not. It's Trevor Lawrence. That's got to be the pick. I think we all know it. He's far and away the best quarterback in the draft. Far and away probably the best player in the draft. And I know his game that he put on film against Ohio State wasn't the greatest in the world. But at the same time, it wasn't a bad game, really. And we've seen enough from Trevor Lawrence that there's no question. He's going number one. The Jaguars, they need a quarterback. I love Minshew with all of my heart. But let's be honest, Trevor Lawrence is a straight-up upgrade. They have the picks later in the draft that they can help build their team there. They got to go Trevor Lawrence one. I don't think I got to say anything else about that. The Jets at 2. This is where the draft to me starts getting interesting. Because I've seen a lot of different ways I think the Jets can go. I can see them going Penei Sewell, Oregon tackle. Because they could pair together a very good offensive line there. With the picks they got last year, Mekhi Becton anchoring down one side. You put Sewell, I think I'm saying his last name right. There's a lot of players in this draft who I'm going to probably butcher their names. And I'll butcher their names until they're in about their fifth year in the league, and then I'll finally figure it out. So sorry about that. I'm going to say Penei Sewell's name wrong. I know, every single time. But back to the Jets. They can put Mekhi Becton on one side, Penei Sewell on the other, and have the best tackles in the league for probably the next 10 years or so. That's one way I see him going. I didn't have him do that in this draft. This time I went Justin Fields. In this scenario, I see them trading away Sam Darnold. Getting back maybe a second or third round pick for him. I don't think they'd get a first round pick for Sam. I love Darnold, but I don't think you get another first rounder for him. So you get Justin Fields, a very talented quarterback from Ohio State. And you're hoping to pretty much reset what you tried to do with Sam Darnold. You tried to build around him, didn't work. Send him out, maybe bring in a competent coach this time, and try and build around Justin Fields. They actually have somewhat of a good team there. That defense is very solid, in my opinion. You're getting CJ Mosley back for it, too. So I think you can do some things. If I'm the Jets general manager, who's at Joe Douglas, I believe it is. If you get a legit quarterback in Justin Fields to build around, I think you could see them making some moves later in the season where they could. I could see them being 8-8, maybe. But it's the Jets, so that's not likely. At 3, we've got the Dolphins with their pick from the Texans. This is another spot I could see Penei Sewell going to. But they did just draft 2 rookie tackles last year. So maybe you want to see how they develop. And if that's the case, I think you got to give Tua another weapon. I have them taking Devontae Smith, Heisman Trophy winner. I've seen arguments that Ja'Marr Chase is better than Devontae Smith. And I kind of think Ja'Marr Chase might be. But Devontae Smith, man. We all saw what he just did in the national championship game. For me, it was, yesterday? He was phenomenal. There's no other way to say it. Truly, truly, truly phenomenal. And, I mean, he won the Heisman Trophy. I think that should say enough for a receiver to do that. And there's some questions about his size. I don't really care about that. You see Tyreek Hill tearing up the league at his height and size. To me, a receiver is a position you can be smaller at, and Devontae Smith is a fantastic receiver. You give Tua another weapon there, and I think that can make him a playoff team. 4, we've got the Falcons. Oh boy, the Falcons are in a weird spot. Because they're kind of in no man's land. I talked about this in my last episode when I talked about the coaching situations. But it's in a weird spot. They could try and build around Matt Ryan again for the last couple years he's got. Or they can do what I have them doing in this situation, which is taking Zach Wilson, quarterback out of BYU. Very, very talented. There are a couple off-the-field concerns that I've seen. Questions about some of his maturity and whatnot. For me, that's hard to evaluate because, obviously, I don't have a chance to talk with Zach Wilson. That's going to be something that teams figure out. So I'm assuming, with as many of these players as I can, that there are no off-the-field issues or character concerns unless they have, like, a criminal record or something. If it's just rumors, I'm not going to pay attention to that. So if you see Zach Wilson fall on draft day, that off-the-field concerns might be why. But on the field, he's very talented. He's got a cannon for an arm. And I think he could rejuvenate the Falcons. You can have him sit for a year or two under Matt Ryan. Well, Matt Ryan has his last grasp at a starting quarterback job. Well, I make it sound like he's ancient. He's not that old. And we've seen old quarterbacks be good. But I think you can stick Zach Wilson behind Matt Ryan and be comfortable and have him develop and turn into a very good quarterback. And then you can maybe trade Matt Ryan, maybe try and get a couple more picks and fill out that roster. Maybe fill out that defense with, like, anyone at this point other than Grady Jarrett. Poor Grady Jarrett is Atlanta. He's their entire defense. So, I still have him going Zach Wilson. I think he's too talented for them to pass up with where they are. Speaking of too talented to pass up, 5, we have the Bengals. No-brainer pick here. Penei Sewell. I think if Penei falls to 5, I don't see him. I don't see any situation where the Bengals say, you know what, let's pick someone else. I was going to say unless Trevor Lawrence falls down there, but even then, I would still take Joe Burrow. Because they already have him, and you can actually build that offensive line. The Bengals need to protect Joe Burrow. We saw what happened this year where he got injured. You'd like to see that, you know, not happen again. And every Bengals game that I watched, it felt like Joe Burrow was under assault. And just running for his life. And that's not the way that you win games. I mean, obviously, they're picking in the top 5, so you build up that offensive line with one of the best offensive line prospects we've seen in many, many years. And you put him at left tackle, and then you don't worry about your left tackle position for the next 15 years. That's a solid situation to be in. A not solid situation is the Philadelphia Eagles at 6. Oh man, they're coachless now. So maybe that's a good thing. I thought about what I wanted to do as the Eagles a lot. Because what I think is their best move, I don't think they'll do. I think their best move is what I have them doing here, which is drafting Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State. I don't think they'll actually do that in the draft, just because Howie Roseman, for whatever reason, doesn't place a lot of value in the linebacker position. He hasn't historically. But if I was the Eagles' general manager, and that's how I like to think about this entire mock draft, is if I was the general manager, what would I do? You've got a generational talent in Micah Parsons, who killed it at Penn State 2 years ago. He sat out this season. And you've got a gaping hole at the linebacker position. It seems like it should be a match made in heaven, but it's the Eagles, so they might not do it, because they're the Eagles. But if he does get taken there, I think he's a great prospect, filling in the middle of that defense. You're going to probably get in a new defensive coordinator. And I've seen sites compare him to Luke Kuechly. If he's half the player Luke Kuechly is, you're happy, because Luke Kuechly is probably the best linebacker I've seen in my entire life. So if you get 50% of Luke Kuechly, you're happy and you don't have to worry about getting a linebacker for a while. At 7, Detroit's picking. I haven't taken Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. Ja'Marr Chase is a phenomenal receiver, and the Lions' top three receivers are all free agents this offseason. So, Kenny Galladay, you might see, the only way he gets brought back to me is under the franchise tag, which obviously that's not long term. You'd like to keep him, but I don't think they can based on how the salary cap is for them. Marvin Jones Jr., he's gone at this point. I don't think there's any way they can bring him back. Danny Amendola, maybe you can give him a low ball offer, but you'd like to have a better receiving threat long term than Danny Amendola. And Ja'Marr Chase is that. He had one of the best receiving seasons we've ever had, probably second only to Devontae Smith this year. Ja'Marr Chase's season, that one was 2 years ago, back in 2019 with Joe Burrow. And you hope he can help revitalize Matt Stafford and really give the Lions some kind of offense, especially if you can keep Kenny Galladay for 1 year on that franchise tag. That's kind of the best case scenario, I think, for the Detroit offense. Is you keep Kenny Galladay for 1 year, you get Ja'Marr Chase there, and hope Matt Stafford can work enough magic to maybe get him into the playoffs under a good coach. That's assuming Detroit actually makes a good head coaching decision, which, as we all know, they're not known for. Wow, this top 10 has really just been me making fun of all these teams. Sorry, Detroit fans, you've suffered enough. You don't need me making fun of you too. But in this mock draft, you got Ja'Marr Chase, and that's something you can be happy about. I know you got a lot of holes on defense. You really need an edge rusher. But in this class, there aren't many edge rushers I'd be like, yep, I want to take them in the top 10. In fact, my first edge rusher, I have coming off at 17. So that kind of tells you where we're at edgewise. Maybe there'll be some people who climb up the draft board. But to me, you got to take Ja'Marr Chase, because he is a bona fide top 10, top 5 pick. It's a good pick for them. Carolina's at 8. Carolina really wanted Micah Parsons. I was looking at this, and if Detroit and the Eagles both pack us up on Micah Parsons. I don't think there's any universe where Carolina doesn't take him. Again, assuming like something crazy like Trevor Lawrence falling doesn't happen. There's no way Trevor Lawrence gets to 8. I'm sorry, Carolina Panthers fans. I hope you realize that. I hope I'm not shattering your dreams of getting Trevor Lawrence. But I have you guys taking Kyle Pitts. He's a great tight end out of Florida. And I tried doing this mock draft once. And the first time, I didn't have you guys taking Kyle Pitts. I had you guys taking Patrick Surtain. But the more I thought about it, the more it just did not sit right with me. Because Kyle Pitts is a phenomenal player. He's really more of a very large receiver than a tight end. And I think he gives your offense another dimension. Teddy Bridgewater is going to love him. I think most quarterbacks who have limited upside, like Teddy Bridgewater sadly does, love their tight ends. And Kyle Pitts is a phenomenal tight end. I think he just gives that offense more talent and fills a bigger role than what getting a cornerback would for you guys. But Patrick Surtain, I didn't have him sliding that far. I had him going at the next pick, number 9 to the Broncos. Getting a cornerback here, I know it's not the right type of back that Broncos fans want. I know a lot of them want a quarterback. But I still believe in Drew Lock. I know maybe it's foolish, maybe it's dumb, but I love Drew Lock coming into his draft. And maybe it's time to let the dream die that Drew Lock is going to be a good NFL quarterback. But for some reason, I still believe he can do it. His comeback this year against my Chargers was fantastic. Part of that is the fact that the Chargers just cannot close out any games ever. But, I mean, he still did it, you know? So, I have them just keeping Drew Lock at quarterback, and then you go with Patrick Surtain on defense, giving you guys a legitimate cornerback one. I know you guys have AJ Boye, but he hasn't been the same that he was when he got back in like 2017 when he was with the Jags. That was peak AJ Boye. He isn't that anymore. So you get Patrick Surtain, a phenomenal quarterback. And I think he just anchors that defense, that secondary. You got Justin Simmons. Well, hopefully you guys re-sign him. If you guys don't re-sign him, you guys have a whole lot of problems. But if you keep him, you got AJ Boye, Patrick Surtain. That's a solid secondary. And I think Denver could use that. At 10, we got the Cowboys. Oh, the Cowboys. I have him taking Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech. He's an offensive tackle. I know it's not like the exciting pick, but I think you guys need an offensive tackle badly. When you guys were at your best, we all remember those Cowboys teams when they just seemed to have the best offensive line in the league. They had it for like 2 seasons or so. But they just got ravaged by injury. And I think it's time you got to refresh that. Hopefully protect Dak if you keep him. And if he gets healthy again. Give Ezekiel Elliott some room to run. Christian Darrisaw is an absolute mauler. He's a very large person. And I think he's going to be great for them. 11, we got the Giants. I have him taking Jaylen Waddle at Alabama. Jaylen Waddle is the 3rd receiver off my board. But with that being said, I think he has some of the most upside. I don't think he's better than Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith. But he's going to give the Giants a very legitimate deep throw. Deep down the field throw. Pretty much every play. He's explosive. He's tough as nails. We saw him come back in that national championship game with his ankle that was pretty much destroyed earlier in the season. And he's out there playing on it, running routes. He's tough as nails. And he's a great player. And honestly, I like the Giants' weapons a little bit. I mean, I'd like Evan Engram more if he could actually catch the ball every once in a while. I think Giants fans agree with me that that'd be a nice change of pace for him. But Jalen Waddle can actually catch the ball, which tends to be something you look for in a receiver. At least that's what I'm told. I don't really know. I think catching the ball might be nice. And he's very fast. You're going to see him put up a crazy 40 time at the combine. 12, we got the Niners. I haven't taken Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech cornerback. I thought about giving him Trey Lance here. I really did. But I feel like you can survive with Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what they've been doing. And I feel like your need at cornerback is a lot bigger with Jason Verrett and Richard Sherman both being free agents. Hopefully you bring back Jason Verrett. I love Jason Verrett, former Charger. When he's healthy, he's a phenomenal player. The problem is he's healthy like once every 5 years. So hopefully he comes back and he's healthy and he plays great. And alongside Caleb Farley, those two would be a phenomenal secondary right there. And to me, that's the way the 49ers keep winning games. Just have a very, very good defense. Oh boy. Now we get to my Chargers at 13. To me, this is a no-brainer pick. If we don't go offensive tackle here, I don't know what happens. Well, bad things happen to me. That's what happens. I will be very sad. We need to keep Herbert upright. Our offensive line has been dreadful for, to me, it seems like forever. Pretty much since Nick Hardwick retired. Oh gosh, when was that? Like 2014? Was that when he retired? It was a while ago. It's been a long time since our offensive line has been decent. We've got Brian Bulaga on one side. That's nice. I'd like to see us have a very good tackle on the other side. Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern. He is that guy for me. He's a big guy. Well, I mean, he's an offensive tackle. Obviously, he's a big guy. Great analysis there. But he's just a phenomenal tackle. He'll help keep Herbert upright, and that's literally all we need right now. Well, not all we need. We need a lot of things, but that's our biggest need right now. And so I don't see us going any other way. And we could go interior offensive line. We just need to go somewhere on the offensive line. Please, we didn't take a single offensive lineman in last year's draft. I'd like to see us take a couple this year. Speaking of offensive linemen, I have another one going to Minnesota at 14. Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC. He's a very good guard center. You can slide him around on that interior. I've seen some people say he can play tackle, which I'm not sold that he can play tackle consistently, but he's good in the interior, and Minnesota needs that. Minnesota's another team that's had a pretty poor offensive line for a while now. And if you can give Dalvin Cook even more space to run, that's what gives the Vikings a chance to be good, in my opinion. Give Kirk Cousins more time to throw, and let Justin Jefferson do his thing on the outside. That's the way they get back to being successful. Enough with offensive linemen. 15, New England Patriots. I haven't taken a quarterback. Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. He's a very talented player. He's got a lot of skill. And by skill, I mean talent. He's very, very talented. just naturally speaking. He's got a cannon for an arm. He can run all over the place. The problem is, can he actually hit his receiver? He's kind of like Josh Allen when he was coming out a couple years ago. I think Josh Allen was a better prospect than Trey Lance is. But it's that similar kind of mold of, I feel like we get one of these almost every year, where it's like, wow, he's got all the talent in the world, but can he actually hit his receiver? That's the big thing against him. The good thing is for the Patriots, it feels like none of the quarterbacks on their roster can hit anyone. So you might as well take someone with a lot of upside in Trey Lance. Give Belichick a good quarterback. Probably the first good quarterback he's ever had. Ah, good joke. Yeah. The only other way I could see the Patriots going is receiver. But I have most of the top receivers off the board here. And New England, I don't know if they go receiver in the draft because they've really struggled hitting on receivers recently. So maybe they try and get some guys back in free agency. Cardinals are at 16. I have them taking J.C. Horn, cornerback out of South Carolina, not a quarterback. They've got a good quarterback. Horn is incredibly physical. I like how he plays. And Patrick Peterson's kind of fallen off a cliff. Really, ever since he got suspended a couple years back, he hasn't been the same player he was. So I have them taking a legitimate cornerback one in J.C. Horn. That lets you maybe slide Patrick Peterson to your second corner spot or trade him. But they just need help in that secondary right now. And Horn can give them that. At 17, my least favorite team in the entire league, the Las Vegas Raiders. Ah, I hate you guys so much. That's the Chargers fan in me speaking. I tried to remove all bias. Part of me wanted to go down the board and pick someone from, like, Podunk State University. But I tried to be fair here. I gave you guys Quiddy Pay. Wow, I butchered his name, but it's the edge rusher out of Michigan. You guys need someone who can, like, actually hit the quarterback. Or actually anyone on defense would be great for y'all. You just got Gus Bradley. Good riddance to him. He's the former Chargers defensive coordinator. That man never runs anything except cover three, it feels like. But Pay out of Michigan, he's a very good prospect. He's a great edge rusher. He's got a lot of physical gifts. And he just fills the role that you guys need, which is someone that can hit the quarterback or pressure him at all. Enough talking about that awful team. Whew. 18, Miami Dolphins. This is going to be another name I butcher. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. Notre Dame linebacker. He's listed as a linebacker, but really, he specializes more in blitzing. If I remember correctly, he's more of an edge rusher type deal in like a 3-4. And I think Miami needs a very good edge rusher. The last good one they had was probably Christian Wake. And that was when he was, what, like 33? So maybe get like another one in there. And Jeremiah, he's incredibly athletic, a very fluid athlete. And so I think that just boosts Miami's defense. They already have a good one, but I think they can get better with getting Jeremiah. At 19, the Washington football team. Oh, man. So ideally, Washington wants a quarterback to fall all the way down to them. They want Trey Lance to fall down. The next quarterback off the board would probably be Mac Jones or Kyle Trask. I really want to say Kyle Trask, but I know his last name isn't Trask. Some people think he's quite trash. I think he's okay. But Kyle Trask is not my pick here. That's not Mac Jones. I'm not sold completely on either of them. And I think after the performance we saw in Washington in the playoffs, you might have slang a quarterback there. But you got to have some better receivers. I have him taking Rashad Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota. He's a very large receiver who can move incredibly well. And it just gives them someone opposite Terry McLaurin and like a legitimate receiving threat that isn't Terry McLaurin. That's what Washington needs. Rashad Bateman can give them that. He's fluid. He can beat you with size. He can beat you with speed. He's kind of got a lot of things going on for him that are very good. And he just gives Washington an actual threat on offense, which isn't something they normally have. So I think that's a good pick for them. At 20, the Chicago Bears. I have them taking an offensive tackle. Samuel Kasami out of Texas. He's proven he's a great college offensive lineman. I think he can be a very good offensive lineman in the NFL. And the Bears need offensive line help. We saw what the Saints did to that offensive line in the playoffs. Poor David Montgomery could get nothing going on the ground because he had no holes to run through. And right now that offense runs through David Montgomery. So you'd like to give him a little bit of space and a little bit of help up front. 21, the Indianapolis Colts. They're another team that's hoping for a quarterback. Honestly, the Bears are kind of hoping a quarterback falls to them. The Colts are hoping for a quarterback. But again, I don't see them picking Mac Jones. I don't think Mac Jones is a significant upgrade over bringing back like Phillip Rivers for one more year, unless Phillip Rivers retires. Or even Jacoby Brissett. I don't think Mac Jones is a big upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. So instead, I have them taking Asante Samuel Jr. out of Florida State. He's a cornerback. And opposite Xavier Rhodes, he can give them a very solid secondary. And right now, the Colts, that defense is the heart of the team. That's what got them to the playoffs was their phenomenal defensive play. And I think they need a cornerback, too, that can actually lock people up. And Asante Samuel Jr. seems like he could be that. So, that's where I have him going. I could also see him going receiver. But I feel like a lot of the very good receivers are off the board already. And I don't see them reaching for some of the other ones right now. The Titans at 22. We all know what they need. They need an edge. They need an edge threat. That's what they need. They could get no edge pressure. They got, what, 19 sacks total last year? That's pitiful. Truly pitiful. Like, come on now. You couldn't scheme more people open to rush the quarterback. Couldn't even get to 20. That's just sad. It really cripples their entire defense. And so to fix that, I have them taking Gregory Rousseau, edge rusher out of Miami. Now Rousseau, he's new to the edge rushing position. He used to be a wide receiver. But Gregory Rousseau is a very large person. And the fact that he used to play receiver should tell you a lot about his athleticism. It's off the charts. He's a top five talent, in my opinion. But the question is, does he have the skills to pay the bills, as people say? Or, I mean, I guess in this case, pay the Titans. I guess the Titans are the one paying him. Oh, man, that was such a good joke. I'm so funny. It hurts being this funny, honestly. Well, Gregory Rousseau is incredibly talented, in my opinion. I think he fills what Miami needs. Or not Miami. He's coming from Miami. He fills what Tennessee needs, which is just someone to get after the quarterback. 23, we got the Jets. Now, the Jets, I would normally have them picking Gregory. Wow, I butchered that name. If I was the Jets, I want Gregory Rousseau. His name, even though it's difficult to say all at once, Gregory Rousseau. They need an edge rusher. But obviously, I just had the Titans picking him. So now I have the Jets going Chris Olave, wide receiver out of Ohio State. I think in this situation, you just drafted your quarterback of the future, Justin Fields. You'd like to give him someone other than Denzel Mims to throw the ball to. I know they got Jamison Crowder, but maybe give him someone a little bit more exciting. And Chris Olave already has chemistry with Justin Fields. They're going to come in day one, already on the same page. And I think that's important, at least a little bit. And honestly, he's the best receiver on the board and fills a massive need for the Jets. The Jets have had bad wide receivers. It feels like the last time they had a good wide receiver was like Eric Decker or Brandon Marshall. Both of them were like over 35. So maybe give him a young guy in Chris Olave who can just give that offense a little bit of juice. Steelers 24. I have him taking Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle from Bama. I don't see any way that they can keep Alejandro Villanueva this offseason. I think he's gone in free agency. So it would be very nice for them to have an offensive lineman here. You could argue Mac Jones at quarterback if you think Ben is going to retire. But I think left tackle is a much bigger need for them right now. And Leatherwood's a big guy. He can fill that easily. He played phenomenal in the national championship game. And we got another tackle coming off the board at 25 for the Jaguars. I haven't taken Tevin Jenkins at Oklahoma State. You got to protect Trevor Lawrence. That's number one in my book. I think you can kind of see a theme of the way I think about building teams in this draft. And that's if you have a young quarterback, you got to protect him. I think any team that's had a young quarterback, I've had him taken. It feels like I've had him taken a tackle. And there's a lot of good tackles in this class. So I feel like it makes sense. Jacksonville needs one. Tevin Jenkins can do that. Moving on to Cleveland at 26. I've been taking Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia. He's an edge rusher. It will give them something other than just Myles Garrett on one side. We saw the way that Pittsburgh played them, which was you like triple team Myles Garrett and deal with the other three rushers however you feel like, because none of them are really threats. Azeez Ojulari changes that, takes some pressure off the number of blockers that Myles Garrett has to deal with. And really, I think he can, just doing that and letting Myles Garrett wreak just way more havoc than he already is. That's all you can really ask for in a defensive player. And I think he really turns that defense up to 11, not just through his play, but just taking pressure off Myles Garrett. 27, Buccaneers. I'm taking Christian Barrymore out of Alabama. He's an interior defensive lineman. And I know they already have Vita Vea, who's phenomenal there. And I know they have Ndamukong Suh. But I'm kind of expecting Ndamukong Suh to either leave them in free agency this year or retire. Christian Barrymore, he solves the problem of Ndamukong Suh leaving. He fills that role well. Next to Vita Vea, You don't have to worry about your defensive line for the next 10 years or so. Those two are going to absolutely dominate together. And I think interior pass rushing, it's really underrated what interior linemen can do to opposing teams. And when you've got two very good ones in Christian Barrymore and Vita Vea, that's a quarterback's worst nightmare. Baltimore's at 28. I have them taking Jason Away, edge rusher out of Penn State. Jason is a phenomenal edge rusher. He's very athletic, very fluid. And I expect that Baltimore is going to let Matthew Judon walk in free agency this year just because of the salary cap problems. You already saw him do it once with Za'Darius Smith. So I think you see them do it again. And this time they just draft his replacement. He's not going to be Matthew Judon day one, but that's really just a testament to how good Matthew Judon is. But I think he fills a role on that off or on that defense. Gives him another edge rusher, aside from Yannick Ngakoue. 29, we got the Saints picking. I've been taking Zaven Collins out of Tulsa. He's a linebacker. He's a physical freak. He looks like he could play defensive tackle or defensive end, but he moves like a normal linebacker. You're a little worried about like coverage maybe a little bit, but honestly, not that much. I think alongside DeMario Davis, he takes that Saints defense to another level, revitalizes him a little bit. I could also see the Saints taking Mac Jones here, now that I'm thinking about it. I think Jameis Winston's a better player, honestly. That's why I don't have them taking Mac Jones. I know you're going to get the highs and lows with Jameis, but the highs of Jameis, even with the lows, I think outweigh just the meh you get from Mac Jones. Not saying Mac Jones is a bad player, but I don't think you get the highs that you get from Jameis Winston that if you have Mac Jones at quarterback. At 30, the Bills are picking. I gave them Travis Etienne. Clemson's running back. I've already established I can't say last names at all. He's an explosive player. And I know they've got Devin Singletary, Zach Moss. But to me, he's just such a different class of player so far above either of them that I don't see a way they pass on him if he falls this far. I don't love taking a running back in the first round, but when you're picking at 30, it's not as big a deal to me. So I think he just adds even more explosiveness to that already explosive Bills offense. And takes him to another level. I feel like I've said takes him to another level about 30 times. So sorry about that. I'm just trying to take my commentary to another level, you know? Packers at 31. I haven't taken Kadarius Toney. Wide receiver out of Florida. He's very large. Very fluid. He's a very good player, and I think you finally give Aaron Rodgers someone other than Devontae Adams to throw the ball to. The other thing I could see them doing here is if they're thinking Aaron Jones leaves in free agency, or if they don't bring him back, I could see them taking Najee Harris. I think that'd be a good pick for them as well, but I think the need at receiver is just too great at this point. You've dealt with, like, Equanimeous St. Brown and Marquez Valdes-Scantling for so long. Give Aaron Rodgers another legitimate offensive threat. And speaking of legitimate offensive threat, at 32, I had the Kansas City Chiefs taking Terrence Marshall Jr., another wide receiver. He's out of LSU. And really, all he's doing to me is filling the void that Sammy Watkins is going to leave. You don't think, I don't think Sammy Watkins is coming back. His contract is huge, or it was. And honestly, he's probably going to ask for another somewhat large contract. And it's just going to be cheaper and potentially more effective if you just replace him with a rookie. Terrence Marshall can fill that same role. He's a very large person. I think he's like 6'3", 200 pounds or something. He's a large dude. Still fluid, still able to move. And he catches the ball well enough. And that's really all you need when you got Patrick Mahomes throwing you the ball. So that concludes the first round. I'm only doing a one-round mock draft this early on. Unless you guys want to hear me talk for like another 2 hours when we go into the second round. I expect that by the time we get to the actual draft, this mock draft, I'll look back at it and be like, wow, I got everything wrong after pick one. Trevor Lawrence pick one is the only thing I feel confident about. Everything else I feel like can slide. But yeah, that's gonna do it. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to leave a rating, that'd be great. And I'll see you guys after the divisional round.